KUCI. It makes me wanna. 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 KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed on this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about this show or other programs on KUCI, please log on to KUCI.org for the latest program schedule.
All right, and good morning to the world, good morning to people on the road, good morning to people in the Anteater Express and all over the globe. This is Ryan Folland, also known as DJ Ginger MC, and you are listening to Get Notified here at KUCI. The show talks about social media, and believe it or not, everything has a tie-in with social media. Today I'm excited because I've got a gentleman named Jay Peters, and today is all about talking design. And if you don't know about design, or you have a conception of design, I think we're going to blow your mind today. Let's see if Jay is there. Jay, are you there?
I'm here, Ryan. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. And we also have two in-studio guests. We have the wonderful Miss Dash, and we have Patrina. Say hello, ladies.
Hi.
All right, so Jay, we have two students here, and we might let them get their input. Ladies, do you know about design methodology?
Nothing.
Okay.
Not much, guys.
This is perfect. And I know there's a lot of listeners out there who also know nothing about design, or they think it's about designing your Easter egg or designing a card or something like that. So we're going to get into it today. And Jay, how did you get into this? Tell us your backstory. I don't want to butcher your bio. I'd rather hear it from you. What's going on with Jay?
I do have a background in design. Education-wise, I have a bachelor's in industrial design, which is product design, designing most of the things you see looking around the room. Everything has to be designed, of course. Spent some years as an entrepreneur, mostly in the toy industry, producing toys.
I saw
and
big.
Learned the whole business side of that, manufacturing, producing, marketing, logistics, all that fun stuff. Had a couple other startups in marketing, social media, communications. And then I got kind of bored, or let's say curious. I went back to grad school in Europe and did something called business design, which is kind of a hybrid. It's designing, but as it implies, it's designing more for the business, which, you know, very intrigued me back then, and still today it's pretty not well known, let's say. It's not prevalent, this kind of approach.
Well, Jay, I was going to see if you're free the next couple months, because I'm pretty sure we could have you on the show every Wednesday for a while and be satisfied. You've got quite the eclectic past, and that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, you know, I say, you know, all roads lead to where you're supposed to lead. So somehow this is where I'm at. And I would love to come back anytime, Ryan. So keep that in mind.
Awesome. I love that. I thought all roads led to Rome, but it actually leads to where you are. So there's our first tweet, right? Say, Jay says all roads lead not to Rome, but to where you are right now. And I think that's great. So you've got a couple different initiatives that we're sort of going to blast through. But before we go there, I have this concept called the GTO, and that is the grandma timeout. It's for all the grandmas, grandpas, or anyone who is just a little confused at any given time. You mentioned the word design a few times. What is design? You mentioned there's this actual, you know, this master keyboard I'm working on here, the Switch Deck, the computer. There's that type of design. You talked about business design. If you were to do a GTO, as in grandma timeout, how would you explain the definition of design in terms of what we're going to be talking about today?
Well, it's funny you say that, Ryan. I wish that we could share some visuals, because we actually have an image we created some years ago to explain exactly that. How do you explain, well, let's say design management to your grandmother? What is it that we do in design management? But without going there, I think verbally speaking, I would just borrow one of the famous quotes from Steve Jobs. And he says that design is not how it looks, but it's how it works.
Oh, I like that. So design is not how it looks, it's how it works.
Or most people equate design with aesthetics and visuals, and yes, it needs to be produced and have the form. And that's something that we would refer to as the small D. So not to get too philosophical, there's D with the small D, which is, let's say, the artifact or the output of design. And there's D with the big D, which is more the thinking or the strategy behind that.
This is interesting. I didn't know the difference. With the little D, you're talking about it being more of the artifact or the object. And then the capital D is the design thinking, the way, the methodology, the rationale, things that go behind the scenes into that design process.
Correct.
Okay. And I love that you guys are also trying to explain to grandmas, because we love our grandmas. It's just hard for them sometimes with technology and understanding everything. I know that you've got three services, and that'll be kind of the guiding light for us today. The names maybe don't necessarily explain what they are. You've got kind of an umbrella brand, and then you have sort of three services underneath there. You've got PARC and design thinking and some other stuff. Where would you like to start if you were going to help people understand more about what this is? And remember, what's fun about this show is we take any topic and bring it back to social media, and we'll sort of pepper that throughout. And you having the social media and marketing background sounds like that's going to be a cinch for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm happy to roll whichever direction this goes.
Well, speaking of rolling, people are in the car, right? But they are all waiting to fight the traffic so that they can park. And park seems to be where I'd like to start at that part. So let's start at the park. What is park and what's going on with that?
Park is our design management, design leadership and innovation consultancy. It is PARK, not with a C. A lot of people hear it and they think of PARK, famous Xerox entity. No, we're not that. I like to kid people, we're the most famous company no one's ever heard of. We're behind the scenes of world-leading brands across all categories: airplanes, air fresheners, tennis shoes, toys, technology. We're behind the scenes to help them more on that big D that I was referring to before about the strategy, the process, the tools.
So you've got everything from planes to toys, and you're the behind the scenes on the brand from the capital D designing concept. How integrated are sort of these design strategies with social media? Because I'm curious about that marriage. Are these bigger brands really focused on how to incorporate the social component to their design? Maybe talk with us about how that marriage is between these big brands from planes to toys. Is everybody jumping on the social media bandwagon?
Well, you know, in these large organizations, you know, there's functions that own every aspect of the market, the brand, the communications. And hopefully not to go too deep down this rabbit hole, but what we do is we help deliver great experiences. And there's kind of a buzzword that's been going around the industry for some time about holistic consumer experiences, the way that a consumer will experience your brand. And that's every single interaction they come across, from seeing it on shelf to the packaging to opening it to servicing, disposal, everything. And of course, one of those elements is the social media aspect. In these large organizations, social media is usually part of communications, which is part of marketing, which is sometimes literally in its own ivory tower. So design will try to influence that as much as possible about the product offer, the benefit, the brand positioning, the brand values. But the challenge is that a lot of times these departments don't talk. They're not integrated, and it's not a holistic experience. So you might hear or get an image through social media about this brand promise or positioning, and then go see it in the store and have a different perception, and then go home and use it and have a different experience as well. So that's where we come in with the strategy to try and tie all these together, so it does speak one voice, deliver one brand promise based on those values.
Wow, that actually is a really interesting look under the covers of what some of these larger brands are dealing with. And it's similar for a smaller company, but I love this idea, this ivory tower. You've just got this sort of in my brain where you have a siloed marketing department that's dealing with social media, but there's not much social going on as far as them actually interacting with maybe other arms and tentacles of the company. Is that something you see pretty commonplace when it comes to these larger companies?
It is very commonplace. You know, historically speaking, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners are probably familiar with the term silos. A lot of organizations were created in silos where you have buildings or departments, specialized functions, so marketing, R&D, design, et cetera, HR, and they sit and they don't speak with each other. They don't communicate. And things are changing now with the open workplace and literally tearing down the walls and getting people to sit and talk and communicate and collaborate. But historically speaking, a lot of these companies that have been around for 100-plus years or 20 years, traditionally, they're still siloed, and it takes a radical new approach, a new methodology, a new way of working to change that culture, and that's where we do come in and support on some of those regards.
All right, and I love the fact that you are the person riding in on the white horse, gallivanting to show them how to sort of bust these silos. From a design methodology standpoint, what are some tips, or what are some common things that you bring to these companies that really help them out? And for our listeners, you know, the value is if it works for a 100-year-old company, it might work for them, or maybe they can take that same principle to get themselves more social. Because I think that silo issue is not just for 100-year-old companies or 20-year-old companies. We're here at UCI, and one of the things that I do from a social media perspective is try to keep the social in it. We have a social media brunch. We get people to work together face-to-face, and I really think that connection is key. So I'm curious, maybe your top three tips from a consulting, design consulting standpoint, how do you break down those silos? How do you break down those barriers? How do you create communication when maybe traditionally these departments are not working as closely together as they should?
More or less, what we do is we come in and we structure things. We bring structure to things so it doesn't happen, let's say, haphazardly or serendipitously. So it's about ways of working. So, for example, in the process, whether it's a design process or the overall development process, there are integrated multidisciplinary teams set up. They are working together from the beginning of a project to the very end. They're jointly responsible. A lot of companies traditionally do the kind of handing over the waterfall aspect, throwing it over the wall, here's my part, and now do your part, and they don't collaborate the handoff. So we structure that so it is part of the development process. Governance as well, the way that people come together and make decisions, review committees based on facts, not opinions. So we really help to go from being very subjective in preferences to objective. What are the business facts and the rationale to make those cases for development? And then, you know, maybe third, loosely around culture, just to foster a more creative, collaborative culture, whether that's from an environment or from a mindset. A lot of times it's just training, awareness, education to understand what it really takes to change.
Well, I think that those three principles right there, that's hardcore advice. You're bringing structure to sort of mitigate against the existing structure that really breeds this type of silo behavior. Because if your job duty is from XYZ and there's no integration of other people that's in your job system, it totally makes sense to go and relook at that structure. Then you talked about governance, which is interesting because you're talking about not alternate facts, but real facts, right? And taking the opinions out of it to really look from a business standpoint, if these processes and structure that are in existence or you're trying to incorporate, holding some sort of accountability to them. And finally, a culture, which is, like you said, environmental or just a mindset. If you have people in the marketing department that are adopting a different culture than somebody who is in the sales department, then there's definitely a disconnect. That's great. Have you written a book on these three things yet? I think there's fodder for it.
It's on the to-do list for sure.
Nice. So. Because we're here at the university, and do you have any experience working with universities other than probably going to university?
Yeah, absolutely. Long story short, I'm with a European agency. We're based in Europe. And over there, we have something called our European Student Network. And what that is we have now 10 partnered universities across Europe. We take two lead students, let's say the best of the best from those 10 universities, and we bring those students into a company-sponsored challenge. So they get to experience what we do in the real-world setting from an academic standpoint. So we work with universities on that regard. This helps us kind of understand their curriculum, the didactics, what's happening in universities. And then what we do is we come into those universities for all the students that didn't participate in our program, and we deliver 1, 2, or 3-day deep dive workshops about what we do. So it's a little bit of inspiration in theory, a little bit of information, but the key is involvement. We get them to roll up the sleeves and actually do some projects. If they were in the workplace, this would be a typical situation, and how would they approach it? And then see their deliverables and give them a little bit of, you know, insight after the fact of what might have been or not have been a best practice approach.
That's interesting, because especially if you're getting students at an age where they are impressionable and they're ready to be open to this information, I would assume that these design concepts about – looking at structure and looking at governance and review processes and establishing the importance of culture. Those are things that are very applicable, not just to one element, but it really seems like those skills would span quite a few industries.
Absolutely. It's great for, I would say, any professional to understand how a company really works. And this is things that you can't learn in university. So, it's really about the real world experience of politics, procedures, personalities, that how things actually really work in the workplace. So
for the big design the capital design, you're saying that that has a lot more to do with politics and how systems are run as opposed to anything else. Is that what I'm hearing?
I wouldn't say more so, but it has a lot to do with it. As you move up in an organization and you go from doing design to managing design, specifically to leading design as a senior executive, then you're in a position where you're really much dealing with politics, stakeholders, budgets, positioning. You're not doing anything with design work per se, but it's really about that politics and positioning.
And how important is it for not only the senior executives to understand this concept of design theory? You had mentioned it's sort of good for everybody. Is that really the case? If you were a low-level employee or an entry-level employee, is that going to give you an advantage from a position of upward mobility?
I want to say yes, but, I don't want to overpromise and say, design's going to be the savior, be-all, sell-all. But I think in general, it's for professionals, I think it's lifelong learning. So the more understanding you have, the better you're equipped you're going to be to advance in an organization, whether that's, up or even sideways. I think the challenge, or what I would rather call the opportunity with design, is to really educate people what is design. Because most people have a preconceived notion, and it's usually the small d. And it's fair enough because design is an artifact. The challenge is everybody's a designer, right? So everyone has an opinion. Design is everything, whether you're a product industrial professional designer or you're a hair designer or a cake designer or a food designer. So everyone thinks they know design, but it's design's job to really come in and inform people what is design and what is not design. And really that's where they start to see the aha moment, where it's more about the strategies, the big D's, the methodologies to really help drive value in an organization.
Okay,
and so what their contribution can be to that.
So we're going to do a little pop quiz here because we have some students and it's almost midterm, so they love this. So we've got Patrina and Dash. Patrina, I want you to go first. Pop quiz, talk to me about design. We're 20 minutes into this. You initially had no idea what design was. Are you closer to understanding? And then how do you see that driving any type of impact or insight into your life as a student and as a potential poet, writer, singer, all this crazy stuff you're doing?
Not a singer, but what I got from it was that design was more than just about the base level that everyone comes into thinking about. When you think about design, it's more about having a strategy. It's more about being innovative than what people think that design is supposed to be. It's more about trying out new things, trying to, I guess, build a community within the company rather than just focusing on the main objective all the time. So that's kind of what I got from that.
Okay. All right. So Jay, what did she get on that? What's the grade on that pop quiz?
I don't like to give grades. We have an education program. We don't give grades.
Okay.
I will give it a thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Good. We got a thumbs up. She's doing that as well. Okay, Dash, the tweet queen here, I'm not going to have you repeat what is design, but share with us maybe what has been catching your ear to tweet about, because you're super insightful. You're like this deep, deep vision person. You look and you're like, ooh, I see underneath what's going on. What is your impact so far, or what is your impression so far about this design, because you've been tweeting out?
Well, I definitely see a lot of parallels you've been drawing between design concepts and marketing best practices, and how these concepts can really overlap with your personal life to help inspire and create communities and just generally create connections with other people. How design is more than just designing a physical object. It's also designing your social media network. It's designing your best, just all sorts of best practices for you to be your best self.
I like it. Jay, what do you think about that? Do we get a thumbs up on that too?
I'll give that a thumbs up as well.
I like this. So what we're trying to do is everybody out there who's listening, we're trying to get you to think about two words that are spelled the exact same with one first letter being capitalized and one not. You have design with a lowercase d, and that is more about the aesthetics or surface level. The CD cover looks like this, and this is the function of the button. And then if I understand correctly, the capital D is everything from procedure to culture to politics to structure to environment that goes on behind the design, essentially.
Sounds like a pretty good recap, yeah.
Woo, I love this. Now, I'm curious, it seems like everybody would be open to this, but I'm assuming that there's going to be some challenges or things that have gone wrong in implementing these types of design thinking principles. Do you have any real-world examples of how this is being done or not, and if and effectively, like anything that we can wrap our head around from a practical standpoint? We've gotten all theoretical here for us. How do we make the rubber meet the road?
You wanted a good case study or let's say the not good case study?
Well, you know what? If somebody ever asks me whether I want good news or bad news, and I'm going to take a poll. Patrina, if I say I have good news or bad news, what do you want first?
Good news.
Okay, and what do you want?
Bad news.
Okay, so I'm going to be the tiebreaker here. I'd like to hear the bad news first. So I'm just, get the bad news out of the way, and then we'll go for it. So what is not a good example of design implementation when it comes to business?
So a couple of things come to mind, but you, not to digress too much, Ryan, but you said design thinking, which is a whole nother terminology and a whole nother methodology in this industry, which was popularized by IDEO, one of the most famous design and innovation consultancies. And this is a general mindset to think like a designer, very creative and iterative and consumer-centric. And it's taken foothold in a lot of industries. But the challenge here, and say the bad news, is we see a lot of stakeholders in these large organizations take a design thinking class, whether that's an online two-hour session or a two-day deep dive, and then they come back into the organization and now they know everything about design. They understand design thinking and the creativity process and everything, and they really try and own design. And we've seen this happen more times than not in a lot of large global producers, and they kind of hijack design and don't control the process in the right way. And what happens is they end up putting things on the marketplace, whether that is a product, a brand, or even a social media campaign, and it didn't follow a professional process with due diligence and governance. Well, we kind of kid around, one of the things we do is we do process architecture. We'll create a process. We'll teach the person the fish, not give them a fish, but teach them the fish. And the process, you have to have many ideas in the beginning and do the process accordingly and then come out with the best possible idea. And what we see, people that think they understand the design process, they have a idea, they develop a idea, and at the end, they end up with a crappy idea because they don't understand the process. Instead of in the beginning having a idea, B and C, and killing A and merging B and C and coming up with offer D, again, whatever that output might be. So that's where we have to play politics and respect the fact that they want to be part of the process, but also kind of step up and say, this is something that needs to be professionally managed, and there are people in the organization that can, help guide that.
Okay, so this is interesting, because I'm learning here. I thought design with a capital D sort of encompassed the design thinking, but you're saying the little d design is the way things are, physically look. The capital D design is more of the methodology behind it, the structure, the governance, the culture. And then you're saying design thinking, that's different than the capital D?
It's part of the capital D, but the term itself, design thinking, is a methodology. I'm pretty sure it's even trademarked.
Okay.
So that approach is owned. So when you say design thinking to a designer, a professional designer, that's what we do every day. The way that we think, the big D, everything under that. When you say design thinking to somebody who's not maybe familiar with everything under the big D, they understand design thinking from a learning aspect that they have, come across, however that is, to an article, a trade show, a workshop. And that's, let's just say, one building block of the foundation of that big D. That's where I say it goes wrong, because they think they understand design thinking because they know this new approach, but that is just one aspect of many that they have to understand to really do it the right way.
Interesting. Patrina and Dash, you got a thumbs up, but don't think that you know everything, okay? Because a thumbs up is just an indication there's a lot more to learn. That's a great distinction between the design as a process and then your trademarked methodology of design thinking. Well, if you're just joining us, hopefully you've been tuned in the whole time. You are listening to Get Notified here at KUCI 88.9 in Irvine. And we encourage you to reach out and connect with us on social media. That's at KUCI FM. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter and KUCI 889 on Facebook. You can find me, the Ginger MC, on Twitter at Ryan Foland. And with my daily drawings on Instagram, that's Ryan.Foland. Real quick, we had talked before the show, you know, I'd asked if you had a Twitter and you said no. And I said, that's totally cool. And I think it's empowering for people out there to understand that you can still be in business without Twitter. Is that correct?
I believe so, yes, from our aspect.
Awesome, because I don't think it's about being on all platforms. I think it's about being on the right platforms. And if Twitter's not the right platform for you, and if you got the business already coming in, that's totally cool. As we hit this midpoint of the show at 8:30, I believe that we're going to have a caller calling in. His name is Alex. He's a PhD student. He's got a great eclectic past, and he's actually the University of California, from the regent standpoint, or the office of the president standpoint. There's this campaign going on called I Am a UC Entrepreneur, like hashtag UC Entrepreneur. And what they're trying to do is get faculty, staff, and students to submit a 30-second video with a chance to win lunch with Janet Napolitano and different VCs and things like that. I'm excited because I enjoy throwing people under the bus.
I've had a few different endeavors in my past. The main one is, as I mentioned, I founded and ran a toy company for many years.
Okay, what kind of toys? Like, it makes me think of the movie Big, which is one of my favorite movies. Like, just get in there and design stuff. What kind of toys were you designing?
So we had action figures for the action sports markets. We had a board game as well for the action sports market. It started with skiing and snowboarding and then branched out to all the other action sports, wakeboarding, surfing, skate, bike, etc.
Well, that's cool. I was a wakeboarder. So you mean you're going to make an action sports figure for me?
Could very well be possible. Depends on your, let's say, your star status.
Yeah, well, I'm a ginger star. That's about it. And I was in the ocean style, not the lake.
I got a little bit bored, so then I decided what's next for me, looking for new challenges, new horizons, and moved on, and actually decided to go back to grad school and move over to Europe and kind of start a new chapter.
Wow, very cool. And are you on there? Alex, is that you?
Yes, I'm on.
Hey! Yay! Well, welcome, Alex. Explain to us not so much what the program is, but why it's so important. And then I'm happy to throw my guest Jay under the bus, and we will go back in time and we will pretend like he is a college student or a student in Europe who's traveling in Europe because he goes to UCI, and then we'll do a little pitch. How's that sound?
Wonderful, absolutely. So the UCI Entrepreneur Campaign is this initiative launched by the president's office. And the idea is, you know, there's a lot of good work that comes out of the UC system. We've got 10 amazing schools, and as a whole, we're probably the best in the world. And so we put a lot of this good entrepreneurial work, but it's not recognized in mass in popular discussion and popular media. So this drive is to change that narrative, and we're trying to identify entrepreneurs across all campuses. The winner of this competition, the 30-second pitch, gets to have lunch with Janet Napolitano, the president of the UC office, and some very big venture capitalists that they've been able to bring on board at the lunch as well, including a gentleman from Next Samsung and a handful of others. Christine Gil Branson, the Senior Vice President of Innovation and Entrepreneurship, will be at the lunch as well. So I think it's a really great opportunity, and it'll be a winner from each campus. So there'll be, you know, 10 contestants that will make it to this stuff.
So, Jay, do you want to get lunch with Janet?
Who doesn't love a free lunch?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, not only a free lunch, I think it's really also, and again, I think people don't understand how huge the UC system is. So Janet Napolitano used to be the governor of Arizona as well as Department of Homeland Security. And I was listening to a talk from part of this last summer, and she had asserted that the UC system alone is bigger than the entire economy of the state of Arizona.
Wow.
So, you know, the resources available just within the UC system alone is amazing.
So what he's saying is you can order a big lunch.
Yeah.
You can order a big lot of food. All right, so Jay, let's pretend that you are at UCI. What year are you here at UCI, Jay?
I like to be a freshie.
All right, so we got some fresh freshmen. What are you studying here at UCI?
I guess I would be just studying some kind of design.
Ooh,
mostly
okay.
Design strategy.
All right, so we got a design strategy freshman. Alex is walking along Ring Road. He sees me and he's like, Ryan, I need some help. I need somebody else to do a pitch. And then I randomly grab the freshest looking fresh meat next to me. And it happens to be Jay. I'm like, Jay, meet Alex. Alex, meet Jay. And then I just keep walking to Starbucks. Go for it.
Hey, Jay, how you doing, man? Where are you off to right now?
Heading off to class.
Class? Right now? What are you studying?
I'm studying design strategy.
Design strategy, nice. Well, design, I think, complements this idea of innovation and entrepreneurship. You got 1 second? We can walk and talk. I'm working on this campaign where we're trying to promote entrepreneurs at the UC system, and I think you'd be perfect for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, right on, man. For this 30-second pitch, in order to kind of, you know, condense everything down to 30 seconds, why don't you tell us how you're a UC entrepreneur, and we'll start with a practice round. Try to give me your elevator speech. Open with, my name is blank, and I'm a UC entrepreneur, and then let's take it from there. You ready?
I believe so, yeah.
All right, let's go.
So my name is Jay Peters. I'm a UC entrepreneur, and I'd like to pitch to you my opportunity.
Your opportunity is?
Okay, and clock's rolling. So I'm able to help you to deliver more value through design to your clients, customers, consumers, and colleagues. And by that value, I mean things around more sales, premium price, lowered cost of manufacturing, lower cost of marketing, more brand awareness, more brand loyalty, more brand equity, more innovation, more intellectual property, and things around culture, creativity, etc. And we can do that through consulting, coaching, educating, or networking with other like-minded individuals.
Wonderful. So that was a good start. Only problem is that burned past the 30-second mark. So my recommendation then, I think, to kind of condense this down, you know, this 30-second elevator pitch is good for, you know, getting your ideas out there. It's a little hard to get a feel for what is 30 seconds. So my recommendation is to break it down into 4 sentences. First, the intro, my name is, and I'm a UC entrepreneur. Second sentence, you know, who you are. Tell us, you know, what your background is. The third being what it is or you're trying to accomplish, the problem you're trying to solve, why you're doing what you're doing. And the fourth one is, you know, where can we find out more information? I'm curious. I like your idea. Tell me more. Intro, who, what, and where. You got that?
Yes.
All right, cool. You want to try again?
This is great.
Let me.
There's no pressure. It's not like we're live on the air or anything. Oh, hi, it's me, yeah. Ryan. I already got my Americano. Now I'm just awkwardly standing next to you guys.
All right, Jay, you ready?
I think so. I hope I got my notes in order. So
you got it, buddy.
I'm trying to look at my clock as well to manage my time. So
now we have an entire crowd around us now. Like there's 35 people that are huddled around. It's like a street performance at UCI. We're all looking at you.
They're all rooting for you, Jay.
Yeah. Okay. Tell them when to go, Alex. Give them the action cue.
Okay. On your mark, get set, go.
Hi, I'm a freshman at UC, and my name is Jay Peters, a background in design. And I help to deliver more value of design and innovation to clients, customers, consumers, and colleagues, all different types of design value. And you can find out more at www.empowering.design.
Perfect. Just under the 30-second mark.
Nice. Excellent. Good work. Excellent. I want to hire you. All right. Well, hey, yeah. Alex, that's great. Thanks for continuing to call back, and I love what you're doing. I think that, as another guest said, you are an entrepreneur if you are solving problems. I think that the process that is sometimes broken oftentimes is fixed by this concept of design. So exciting to throw somebody under the bus always. Alex, we'll probably see you next week. Good luck. If anybody wants to find out more, how do they get in touch with you, Alex?
Yeah, so my contact, if you have any questions about the campaign, mcdonaa1@uci.edu, or you can call my cell, 206-291-8674. If you want to know more about the campaign itself, just Google or, you know, Bing, whatever you do to web search, I am a UC entrepreneur. Anyway, come check it out. The campaign itself ends February 28th, so make sure you have a look. And if you're interested, and come participate, we're looking forward to having you out there.
All right, thanks, Alex. And my challenge to you, Alex, is you got to get all that in 30 seconds next week.
Yes, sir, will
do. It goes both ways, all right, buddy. All right,
thank
thanks.
You very much. Have a good day.
All right, see you, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
All right, so let me drop him here on the call so that we don't have the buzzing noise.
I'm here, yeah.
Yes, I didn't lose you. How exciting is that? Okay, well, how was that experience? Apologize for throwing you under the bus, but hopefully you feel not too injured.
No, like I said, I'm always up for learning and perfecting. I, you know, as you said, Ryan, I'm an entrepreneur or entrepreneurs always have to learn. And the funny thing is, after almost 20 years in business, we're still crafting our elevator pitch because it's very difficult to easily or quickly explain what it is that we do.
And I think that's so exciting to hear, because there are people that are 2 months or 20 months into trying to develop their pitch. And I think that it is a constant thing you'll always have to struggle with, because there's nothing more challenging than making things simple. And it's a great exercise that people are going through. So I always love to put people on the spot like that. Well, we've got about 15 minutes here, and I really wanted to dig into this whole grow concept that you have, because I was poking around online and the testimonials were crazy. I mean, you're changing people's lives with this educational program you have. So I wanted to know about it, and then I wanted to give Patrina and Dash a crash course in growing so they leave here like on top of the world. How's that sound?
Yeah, excellent.
So what is this? What is this grow concept? And unlike the park, we know that it's spelt like it sounds, right? G-R-O-W.
Yes.
So what's the 30-second scoop, or, I mean, 30-second plus or minus scoop on it? And then let's do a crash course with these ladies here.
All right. I'll try and keep it to 30 seconds. So GROW is a professional education program for working professionals only to learn how to master design management and innovation management to help their companies be more efficient, more effective, to deliver more value to the marketplace.
Bam, that was under 30 seconds. I actually was timing you, just to keep you honest. Okay, so is this like an actual program, right? Because I know you have like this conference where you're partnered with the UN and other crazy stuff like that, but this is an actual course, is that correct?
This is actually a company. So GROW is a sister company to PARC. It's a, let's say, a complement to PARC. PARC's been around for about 20 years. We've been doing a lot of education and coaching. But long story short, about 5 years ago, one of our long-term clients, being LEGO, came to us with the need for a professional education program for their internal designers. LEGO has over 250 designers in-house. We developed the program in agreement with them that we would basically spin it off, bring it, commercialize, and bring it to market for others. And this is essentially a gap in the marketplace. When we talk about design strategy and managing and leading design, there's not a lot of education around that, certainly at the academic level. A lot of times designers learn the design craft, as they should, to learn how to be expert craftsmen, the skill set to design things, artifacts, outputs, whether that's digital or physical. And at some point in their career, I always say you come to that proverbial T in the road where you have to make a decision. And the decision for a designer is to become a manager, which you start doing less designing and managing people, process, and budgets, or eventually going into leadership, where then you're just leading design and dealing with different stakeholders and, as I said before, politics, budgets, positioning. And what we have seen and what we have heard from our clients is a lot of times they will lose a very good designer and get a very crappy manager in place. There's just no formal education around that. So we teach working professionals what we do in our consultancies so they can do it for themselves in their organizations.
Okay, now do you teach any of these classes? Are you involved at all in the curriculum?
Absolutely. So one of the added values of the program is it is taught by practitioners. So across the world, these programs are taught by consultants of PARC. So we spend 90% of our time in large companies, dealing with these projects day in, day out, living, breathing these, and then we step out into this educational environment and we teach those other working professionals what we do. So it's not just theoretical or academic and we studied it or learned it. No, a lot of times we will come into a program and say, actually, I was just at XYZ 2 days ago and we were having this kind of discussion.
Okay, sweet. So we're gonna hold class. Ladies and gentlemen, class is about to start. We have two people here in class and a lot of people online and listening via the radio. Patrina, how are you doing today?
Good.
Okay, and then Dash, I know you're tweeting, but are you there?
I am here.
Okay, so I want to introduce you to today's instructor, Mr. Jay, and I'm going to be auditing the class like a vice principal in the background, right? Just to make sure it goes okay. Jay, what is sort of good, I'd say, I don't know, 6 to 7 minute lesson or series of lessons, if you had a potential student or a room full of students and you said, you know, I'm going to deliver the top value, the core nuggets, the most important things that you'll be learning over this next period, let's do the cliff notes and let's see if we can, you know, put some crazy information in these ladies' brains.
All right, that's a challenge. hard to condense.
Well, we don't. Okay, maybe, it may be not condensing, but maybe where do we start if that's easier? I'm not trying to make it difficult, but like, whatever works for you. You're the teacher. I'm just the vice principal.
Yeah. So let me try and give it a couple of different speaking points that maybe give the overall abstract.
Okay.
First of all, it is about being a generalist of design, not a specialist. It is about managing and leading. I like to kid around that we do a lot of the non-sexy side of design so designers can make sexy things. We do things like process architecture, organizational setup, tools, culture, education, awareness to really help drive design value in an organization. So generalists, and spoke a little bit about this ago, but another thing that maybe you are familiar with or not is the T-shaped person. In this program, you need to learn to become a T-shaped person. And what that is essentially is if you think of the capital T, visualize a capital letter T, there's the cross T and the horizontal and the vertical axis. So the vertical axis is a depth of knowledge in one discipline, in this regard, design. You know a lot about design, the practices, the tools, the functionality, but you have to understand the vertical, horizontal T, which is understanding of other disciplines. So you have to have a little bit of an understanding, a little bit of breadth of knowledge in things such as manufacturing, R&D, marketing, logistics, procurement, legal, regulatory, et cetera, to be able to really navigate yourself in a large organization. So that is one of the aspects that we teach.
These ladies are taking notes fervorously. What do you think about the T, ladies? Because, these ladies are poets. Okay, they are, believe me. And so, making the analogy from having that broad depth from a T-chart kind of concept, I'd like this. I would assume as a poet, you have to have very deep knowledge in English and in vocabulary and whatnot, and then the horizontal bar is about sort of these other disciplines. Is that a fair parallel, Jay?
I think so. I think it's applicable to any individual in any situation. Yeah.
So, are your students not just designers? Are they people from other industries, or artists, or people that can learn and gain value from this design concept?
Our students are people that are professionally responsible for development, whether that is product development or a service development, such as somebody in a banking situation where they don't really have a product. Their product is a service and websites and interactions. We have project managers and brand managers managing the brand, the marketing. So anyone who's responsible for putting something of value to the marketplace can benefit from understanding what we teach are the fundamentals of mastering, managing, and leading design.
So is the T exercise something to just establish where you're at as a visual, or do you want to make sure you have a very long vertical part of the T and a long horizontal? What's the practical implications of if we identify where our T is? Do we want to grow the T, or what's the ideal outcome?
I think, I just bring it in to kind of manage expectations.
Okay.
Because some people, and fair enough, they don't want to be this generalist. They don't want to understand a bunch of stuff that's not interesting for them. They want to really pursue their passion and be a deep knowledge in certain domain. They want to be this poet or this craftsman or this engineer, et cetera. And that's fine because we do need specialists. But again, managing expectations, if you want to move up in organizations, you have to have more and more of this breadth of knowledge, this lateral understanding to be able to move and to navigate and to literally speak the language of other disciplines.
Gotcha. So as poets, do you feel that the design process could help you out in your slam poetry or whatever you're doing? Petrina, chirp in.
I would say that it could, just from the perspective of taking something when you write poetry and when you do in other fields, of course, well, but when you write poetry, it's more you focus on that one thing, you focus on what you know in that one field, what you know about writing. But when you look at it from that perspective, from the design perspective is what I'm talking about, is when you realize that you can actually take things from other parts of your life, take things from other fields, and actually incorporate it into what you're already doing.
Very cool. That's a thumbs up. Jay, is that thumbs up?
Thumbs up.
Okay, so Dash, I want to hear your insight. And then, Petrina, I'm going to challenge you to come up with some sort of poetry, something about design that we're going to end the show with. And you've got 60 seconds to come up with it. And then, Dash, you can probably, throw the beatbox in the back if you want. Petrita's freaking out.
Actually, what I've been really interested in poetry are its applications as a kind of visual literacy. So I've been learning a lot about education, how education is taking this idea of marketing and digital stories and applying that to to literacy concepts in the classroom for students in education and that kind of thing. So I'm really interested in trying to expand, take it from a T to from a lowercase T to a capital T, what people define poetry as, and how it can, and how we can fit it into this new technological innovative age. You know,
I like it. That's another thumbs up. Petrina, are you getting ready?
I have something really short that's only slightly poetic.
Okay. Let's hear it, and then stick around for our next show, Writers on Writing. Jay, this has been a lot of fun. Any last final thing before we go out here with a design poetry bang?
Yeah, I would just say for the listeners, you know, it's of course a matter of interest, but I think it's just about keeping a larger understanding or perspective of what is design, and don't pigeonhole it into what you think it is, but to be open to understanding all the different aspects. And it can add value to their role, whatever it is they're doing, whether it's poetry, science, etc. So I think that design is very beneficial to any individual.
All right. Well, great. And how do we find you real quick? What's a website, or where do we find you on LinkedIn or something so people can find you?
Probably best to get all the contact details is go to one of our main websites, which is www.empowering.design.
All right, Petrina, I'm actually writing a poem as well, so I will go after you. Here you go. You're up. Ladies and gentlemen, a poem inspired by today's design process. Here we go. Go, Petrina.
It's two lines. I don't know if it counts as a poem, but it's take the depth of your knowledge and expand your horizons.
Wow, very cool. All right, here's mine. Design is not how it looks. It's how it works. Lowercase d or uppercase d. Not design thinking, but that's a part. Whether a poet or not, your perspective is what it is. Be open and don't be a pigeon. Design adds value no matter what you got, so go get it.
I think we're going to have to tweet those later.
All right, well, hey, a lot of fun. Jay, this has been brilliant. Next time I'm up in LA, let's definitely have coffee and design some conversation that's empowering for each of us. And yeah, just want to thank you. Big shout out to Twyla and Sarif.
U2R1.
U2R1. Big shout out to U2R1. Twyla and Sari, and hey, this is it. I'm going to put on a random song and stick around for the next show. This is Ryan Folland, DJ Ginger MC, out. We'll see you, Jay. Thanks for everything.
Excellent. Thanks, Ryan. Take care.
All right.
Thanks, ladies. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, guys. You can find more information at getnotified.kuci.org. See you next time.